Hello, this is the No Wellness Wankery podcast. My name is Jenna DePeace. We talk all things wellness wankery and working out how to navigate the crazy health world. I'm joined by my co-host, Lindy.
Hi, it's Lindy Cohen here, dietitian, nutritionist, and person who hates wellness wankery. So today we talk about why intuitive eating might not work for you, why it hasn't worked for you yet. Because I hear a lot of people who are like, I've tried intuitive eating. I want to like it. I like the principles. I think it makes sense, but it didn't work for me and I don't know why. And so there are some common traps that I think people fall into. So let's make sure that you're not falling into any of those traps, because intuitive eating is the real deal. It's good
this
stuff.
This is it. I feel like a big one for me is I've probably fallen into this, and I've heard people like kind of treating intuitive eating like a diet that you can fail, and therefore it's another thing you can't stick to. It's you kind of apply old thinking about other health protocols, other diets to intuitive eating.
So what you're talking about is that it becomes a food rule. So yes. Like you're like, I can only eat when I'm hungry and I have to stop before I feel full. And if I'm not doing that perfectly all the time, then I'm failing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is such a common one. And I think the very nature of intuitive eating is like, you're allowed to be imperfect. It's the very thing is like, you're allowed to like flow and thinking that you're going to do intuitive eating perfectly all the time is certainly a diet. And so there's no expectation that you're only going to eat when you're hungry. That's impossible. There are times where you have a delicious dinner, cake comes rolling out and you're like, that's a good idea. Are you hungry? No, you're absolutely not. And I think simply being able to recognize to yourself, I'm not hungry, but that's delicious and I'm going to eat it. That's part of intuitive eating and part of that freedom and flexibility. I don't even want to put a number around how often you're meant to like aim to eat when you're hungry and be okay with the fact of not eating when, you know, eating when you're not hungry, just to say that, you know, we aim for eating mostly when we feel hungry. And
because as you get into it, you kind of feel a groove of what works for you.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when you kind of get more into intuitive eating, you'll be full from dinner and cake will come out and you know that cake is so allowed that you'd be like, oh, I actually don't feel like cake right now.
Yeah. That's the sweet spot that you actually end up getting to.
And it's not, I don't feel like cake because I shouldn't have cake. It's like, I love cake. Cake's great. I can eat cake whenever I want. And you know what? I really don't feel like it.
I can have cake whenever I can want. Let me just reiterate that this is a very essential thing. What I find very interesting about intuitive eating is that it's quite hard when you get started, especially if you've been dieting your whole life, because
you want rules.
You want, you know, rules are easy. Rules are nice to stick to. And intuitive eating is like, there are no rules. And you're like, what do you mean there's no rules? I'm just going to eat everything. And so it is hard to get started. Also with the fact that you don't know how to tune into your hunger because you've been programmed and conditioned for all these years that hunger is something we need to try and avoid, that we need to try and control, manipulate, have frequent snacks, all these different things that you've been told. And so you're like, I don't even know what hunger feels like. I don't know what fullness feels like.
No.
And in the beginning, you're so much more, you're still kind of coming out of this like murky relationship with food period. So you're going to eat more than feels comfortable in your tummy. And you are going to eat when you're not hungry because you just feel like it. And like the rate of not, I don't say not getting it right, but like you're not going to be the most intuitive eater in the beginning.
Yeah, because when I know for me personally, when I was coming out of dieting my whole life, there was all these foods I never allowed myself to have or do, and I had to readjust to that. Like my partner would like when he was going to get KFC on the weekend because he felt like it, I was like, oh, well, I suppose like maybe I could have some too. Like I've never been able to do things like that. So it's a new adjustment period.
And how long have you been doing intuitive eating for now?
Probably like a year.
Yeah.
Okay, it takes cool. a long time to get into it.
And I'd say I still have moments like that where I got to double check. That happens less often for me nowadays. But that's the thing is intuitive eating is the kind of thing where it's a long process.
Of unlearning and creating new ways of thinking.
Yes, there are people who are like, well, I gave it a crack for 3 months and like it didn't work because it's not at all a quick fix. It's like this lifelong commitment. And part of the thing I hate about intuitive eating is you have to reach a point with dieting where like you have failed so much. You've gotten so disheartened by dieting that you're just like, literally there is no other choice. Like I must. And this is why when you try intuitive eating, so often we do crawl back to diets because they're like, well, maybe I'll just dabble in.
Maybe it'll be a bit different this time.
Yeah, and then we do go back and like, oh, no, it failed again. And then you come back to intuitive eating. And so there is this process, I find, a bit of like a little dance. Where especially in the first little bit, you hop in and out of dieting and you come back to intuitive eating. And eventually you're like, no, I know this is the way. This is the way forward. So diets are very easy to start. We talked about this a little bit. The diets are quick because I want to give you rules. You're like, cool. From day one of starting a diet, you feel the best. You're like, yeah. I am head is in the game. I know what I can eat. I know what I can't eat.
You're that achieving, week, you're ticking boxes, you're getting it done.
You lose weight. You're feeling smug. It's so good. The problem with diets is they get progressively harder and harder and harder to follow. Intuitive eating is the exact opposite. It is so hard to get started, but the longer you do it, the easier it gets. And I think that is the hardest thing about it, is that you gotta be okay with failing a lot, and imperfect eating.
I feel like the biggest positive to me for the whole intuitive eating way of living is the more brain space you get back. Because you could stay on dieting and being a personal trainer and counting your macros and succeed. You could do that for 30 years. You are going to spend that 30 years thinking about food, thinking about what you need to eat, how you need to track it. Like, it just consumes your brain. And when you get into a more intuitive space, you can think about other things because it's not the focus of your life.
I hear that. And this is big stuff. Bronnie Ware wrote the book, Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. Really interesting. She was a palliative care nurse. One of the regrets of the dying is that I wish I had spent less time working.
Yeah.
Another was that I wish I had the bravery to do what I wanted to do in life rather than what other people thought I should be doing. I wish I had more time to see friends. And I tell you what is not one of the regrets of the dying was I wish I had thought about my weight more. I wish I had counted more calories.
I wish I had smaller size pants.
I wish I'd had a smaller waist. You know, these are not the regrets of the dying. And I think when I look back to my 20s, I can have regrets where I'm like, well, I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I enjoyed my 20s more. I wish I worried less. And isn't that a thing we all have where we look back at our lives and go, I wish I didn't take it all so seriously. And I think weight stuff and body image stuff gets in so much way of us actually enjoying life. I think we keep our lives small because we're worried what other people are going to think about our bodies. We don't exercise because for fear of other people judging us in how we might look. Our life revolves around trying to please other people with our body and occupy as little space as we possibly can. And I think it's sad. And I think
doesn't need to be like that.
It doesn't need to be that way. Let's get away from that place where we're obsessed around food. So one of the things that I want you to kind of go, okay, well, maybe this is why intuitive eating didn't work for me. If you still feel like you're trying intuitive eating, but you're simultaneously still obsessed with food, that's a clue that you're still like 1 foot in dieting and 1 foot in intuitive eating. So you probably have all these heirloom trinket diet rules that are lingering like shitty souvenirs.
Yeah.
And let's purge them from your life. And the first step to doing that is becoming aware of all these silly diet rules that are clouding your brain and your judgment, making food decisions so hard. So you're trying to eat intuitively, but at the same time, like, you shouldn't have too much sugar and it has to be this portion size and like I ate too much. So like, you're not actually intuitive eating. You're still dieting, but now you've got an extra food rule, which is to eat intuitively, which sounds very tricky. So we got to go, what I would like you to do is create a list of all the food rules that you subscribe to, but also write down all the food rules that you don't subscribe to, but you've heard. For example,
things that are just in your brain.
Fruit is fattening. Sugar is fattening. Fat is fattening. You can't have coffee. You must have coffee. Yeah. Carbs are fattening. Pasta is fattening. Potato is a treat food. Okay, just list and you're going to see, you're going to fill up pages probably. This can go on and on. And then every single time that you follow someone on social media and they're like giving you another diet rule, even if you don't subscribe to it, it sits there in your brain as like, maybe I should be thinking about these things.
Yeah.
So until we remove these diet rules from our life, from our brain, you can't eat intuitive fully.
No.
So that's a really kind of key step. And it kind of brings me on to the other point is like, this is why we should have a professional to help us when you go on an intuitive eating journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't do it alone.
You can't do it alone. It's big stuff. You know, this is like your relationship with food, something that you're going to eat for the rest of your life multiple times a day. It's worth investing a little bit in. It doesn't have to be super expensive. You can read a book. A book can be quite an affordable way for you to actually invest in it. Ideally, you could see a non-diet professional who focuses on intuitive eating and not weight loss. If they're promoting weight loss, don't go there. They're bad.
They're bad. Yeah, because I think the whole intuitive eating, reasons why it could have failed, again, you're focusing on weight loss and not focusing on fixing your relationship with food.
Yeah. So if you're still holding on to this idea that I need to lose weight, it is impossible to eat intuitively, because when you're trying to lose weight, you're going to have things like, oh, but I'm only allowed this portion size, mm-hmm. right? Which is in direct counterbalance to what intuitive eating tells us, which is eat according to your hunger on that day in that moment. It's going to be very, very hard, near impossible to delete those food rules if you still are holding onto the weight loss desire. If you're still weighing yourself, if you're still keeping a food diary by tracking your calories or your points or any of these things. And I know if you've actually dieted a lot, like let's say you've done Weight Watchers, it's very hard to forget points. Like,
oh, it's very hard.
You're like, oh, I could still remember like calorie amounts off the top of my head. But it's like, do you lie in bed at night and allow yourself to go through and digest how good or bad you were that day? Are you actively weighing yourself? Try to pull back from all these things and ways that you are actively pursuing weight loss.
Could be very helpful. Just like changing the thought in your brain again and again and again. It'll get easier.
It does get easier. Rewiring that brain is certainly going to get a whole lot easier. So I think there are so many things that we can be doing here that's going to help you make intuitive eating a whole lot easier. Number one, we're going to get rid of those diet rules to make sure that we're not still holding onto them. We're not still trying to diet and intuitively eat at the same time. Intuitive eating can't become yet another food rule. Enlist help, get a professional. Of course, this is something that I do. I teach people about intuitive eating. You might want to check out my program, Keep It Real. If you use the code podcast, you get 20% off.
On your website.
On the website. So check that out. And I think you have to expect that it's going to go slow, that it's going to be harder in the start, that it's going to get easier. You can always come back to intuitive eating. This is not a club where you're going to get kicked out of.
There's nothing to fail, so you can always just come back.
Yeah, exactly. So just it's a really gracious kind of thing. And just quickly, I just want to throw out this idea of intuitive exercise while we're here. Intuitive eating, we know what that is. It's listening to your body, responding appropriately. The same thing applies with intuitive exercise. Intuitive exercise is listening to, hey, it feels a bit niggly in my body today. Maybe I don't need to push myself as hard. Or I've got loads of energy. Maybe I push it a little bit and I like get a little bit saucy with my exercise today. So what the benefit of this is, we're preventing injuries, we're improving how we feel in our bodies, and we're getting really exercise that we really enjoy. So intuitive thinking can apply to many areas of our life. It is listening to advice, but mostly it's listening to our bodies, because the real expert on how you should be eating and how you should be moving is your body. It's constantly giving you clues about how to take care of it. And what we need to do is tune out of the diet rules and the noise and tune into your lovely body instead.
Just learn how to listen to it. And thank you so much for listening to us today. It's been No Wellness Wankery. If you're loving the podcast, you'd love to leave a review. We'd love to hear it, read it, see it.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.